welcome back to another episode of the Golden Bear Cast, part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am one of your co-hosts, Rob Huang. Alongside me, of course, is my co-host and partner in crime for all things Cal, Andy. Andy, how are you doing this Monday evening?
I'm doing great. No complaints. Vaccine news is good. I think I had some not immediate, but close family members get the vaccine. So I'm pretty excited about that. And a lot of things have been happening today. So it's been a lot of Cal chats and Twitter, and ASU scored 7 points in a basketball game. So many interesting things happening right now, for sure.
Happenings. We're recording on Monday, but so much news happened over the last 3 days that part of me was like, we should have probably recorded a podcast like Friday night. But then we waited, and now we're recording one out of two podcasts that we'll be recording because there's just so much crap to talk about. So this one's going to be a little, I mean, if you've probably seen in the title if you're listening to this. So this one's going to be a little bit more less Cal and more bigger picture and little bits news. And then, of course, the following one is going to be talking about the big, big news that everyone wants us to talk about, which is the Tim DeReuter stuff. But before we get to that, this episode is going to be talking about some of the smaller tidbit news, and there's a lot to go through. So let's get right to it. We got a lot. First things first, we're going to go through all the Cal news, and then we're going to talk about the big Pac-12 news that dropped last week. First one is Director of Recruiting Strategy, Marshall Charrington, has left to the University of Southern California. Marshall is a USC grad, so this is kind of a going home thing. And, you know, you can't blame him for taking that job. I think it's probably a step up for him. And I think it's great. I think it's absolutely awesome for him to do that. And the stuff that he's done for us over the last few years, like totally modernizing Cal recruiting from like a graphic standpoint, what they do, what they send out to kids, like how they interact with them, I think has gone significantly better and brought us into the new era of how people should be recruiting. So good luck to Marshall and all his endeavors. There was no Tosh situation here, which I thought was really nice, where he kind of like said he was leaving, I think, and he like dropped all his duties and like, you know, wrapped everything up, but there was no like subliminal type of texting guys like, I'm moving to SC, so, you know, come over with me. It was just a clean transition, which, you know, we've had bad transitions. So it's nice to see a clean transition this time around. Cause like, as soon as the news started popping up that he was leaving SC, like if you looked at his Twitter feed, like there were like no more likes of recruits tweets or anything like that from that moment on. And it was like radio silent on his Twitter account up until when he announced that he was going to be at SC. So very clean cut.
Yeah. Professional.
Mm-hmm. Very professional. So yeah. Kudos to Mark.
I feel like for those fans that are like, hey, should I care about this? Yeah, I think you should. Yeah. And it's a big loss for the program. And also to the SC fans that are all commenting, why would we want anyone from Cal? Yeah. This is somebody that you would want. So, it's disappointing to see that Marshall is going to a fan base that immediately questions why he would be there, because he's really good. And I don't know if they, you know, they're not going to immediately appreciate that, but they will over time. So it's a bummer, but you know, there's other things happening. That feels like 2 years ago.
yeah, but I think we'll be just fine. It's cool to see these like top tier named programs come in after even not just our positional coaches, but like the support staff people, right? That just goes to show that we're being respected on that front across the country. So thanks for that. But yeah, we just wish you luck. Wish you the best luck if you're listening to this on your endeavors. And we hope that you never beat us. next thing is player movement. Some more player movement. Senior quarterback Devin Modster and senior defensive lineman Gabe Cherry both have entered the transfer portal as grad transfers. They will be moving on to another place, another school to maybe ply their trade. Andy, your thoughts on these two guys leaving?
We did talk about Gabe Cherry, huh?
Yeah. That was after our last podcast.
Yeah, so I think we might want to circle back on that one because that's where the drama lives. But, you know, D-Mod, probably one of his biggest fans over here for a while.
You wanted him on the field.
I did. Until I didn't. So, D-Mod, you know, I don't know why he hasn't really been able to kind of take that next step. I always felt like he had, you know, good awareness, good pocket presence, decent arm, but it just sort of seemed like he wasn't able to kind of bring it all together. And I'm not surprised at the transfer news here. I think, you know, he's a senior, as you mentioned. I just sort of think like that quarterback room is crowded. If we didn't even take a look at Chase's little brother again, like, then I don't know if D-Mod's getting that look either. Yes, you know, we have Jaden Casey coming up. We have Spencer Brash. We have Kai, you know, and then we obviously have Garbers, the presumptive starter. It makes a lot of sense. So I wish him the best. I hope he succeeds. Could be great. Good for him. Good for us. Win-win. And then Gabe Cherry was someone that you and I had highlighted as that was like our big defensive recruit back in the Dykes days. That we were like, oh yeah, like Gabe Cherry, that's like the one in the class. Well, this staff didn't apparently feel that way about him. And there's no love lost between him and this staff because he didn't mention a single one of them in his departure. So on Twitter, he only thanked Sonny Dykes. And then I believe, I can't remember where else he said this, but he said it's been a really tough 4 years. He was losing faith and got the faith back and is now looking to transfer. So we wish Gabe Cherry the best. He graduated. Mm-hmm. So he did everything right on his end. So I think, again, like we said, you know, Marshall Charrington, professionalism. Gabe Cherry, professionalism. To come in, complete your schoolwork, put your head down, graduate as a member of the football team, despite all of that happening. That's impressive.
Major props.
So congrats to him. And, you know, it might not have been the world's best time at Cal, but the degree will serve him super well in life. And hopefully it becomes one of those things where he reflects back on that and is, yeah, I have no idea about what his feelings are towards the university. I think what we read was mainly about his feelings towards the staff. And so,
yeah, I think if he stuck through 4 years of hardship, I think it was because he wanted that degree. Like, I think, you know, that's probably the only like driving force for him to have stuck around for so long if that was the case. So, unfortunate, it happens in college sports a lot. But yeah, I just wish him the best and hopefully he finds a place that he can just explode and play really well.
Maybe it's sunny at Tennessee, man. Maybe I feel like I spoke that into existence and all of a sudden Sonny Dykes popping up.
I told you, man, we're going to see Sonny Dykes agrees to extension with SMU like next week.
His agent deserves a raise.
Yeah. And then the SMU AD is going to come out. We're like, we're extremely excited to announce that we have agreed to an extension with Coach Dykes. We love him as part of the family here. We hope to see him for many, many years to come leading our football program. Like I can already see that statement coming out.
Didn't he just get an extension at SMU? I think he did.
Did he?
Yeah, I thought he got like a new contract after he was like really successful
that first year. Yeah. I mean, they were good last year too, but I guess that 1 year.
That 1 year when they were like
2019, I think.
2019, dude. So he just signed it. Classic Sonny quote. We love being in Dallas. I'm sure you do, Big Bear. I'm sure you do.
I saw Nick's tweet, which I think was the best. Like he was like, Cal fans should be just as weird about Sonny going to Tennessee as they were about Konzo coming to us. Like, we gotta be just as weird about it. That's another whole discussion of its own. But those two guys, hopefully they find a place to play. I'll be keeping an eye out to see if they land somewhere and get significant playing time. The next one is kind of still an unknown, but Trayvon Clark apparently posted on his Instagram page him wearing a Cal jersey and the caption saying, like, I'm all in on year four. So I think that's a statement of his intent to return to play his final year here. But we shall see. That, like, Trayvon Clark was one of the question marks of, is he coming back? Is he not? He had been away from the team this past season due to, I think, Coach Wilcox had personal reasons. So if he's back, I'm all for it, especially with Mekhi Polk leaving. Like, we're going to need all hands on deck at the wide receiver spots, especially the older guys, for sure.
So he said, direct quote from Trey.80_, I can't break like I'm bulletproof, .. I'm coming for it all. Prayer emoji, 100. Hashtag year four.
Yeah.
And then Jeremiah Hawkins, ironically, commented, let's go, Cuzzo, it's time.
Yeah.
So,
I think he's back. I think that's a statement that he's back.
I definitely think he's back, which is huge.
Yeah.
Because this dude can play. Like, he can ball.
Yeah, he's arguably one of the reasons we won the big game. Like, Chase is the one that scored that touchdown, but if it wasn't for him making those catches on the sideline, like, we would not have been able to come close on that final drive.
Yeah. So
he's big. He's big. He's a unsung hero for that big game.
Well, that's great. I mean, if we get Trevin Clark back, that, you know, that makes the Mekhi news hurt less and gives us a little bit of that. Yeah, you laugh because there's no such thing as less hurt for me and Mekhi.
Andy's looking at, like, the roster every single day, like, updating it just to see, like, who's wearing the next number 17 jersey. Like, just constantly, is this the guy? Is he going to be better than Mekhi? Because he has to be at this point.
Man, just give it to a fullback or something. All right.
Next one is a commit, is an incoming. We got our first, commit of the 2022 class a couple weeks ago in defensive tackle. I don't know how to say his first name. It's Damonic Williams, who's a 4-star nose tackle or defensive tackle. And then last week, we get the commitment of 4-star quarterback Justin Martin. So now we have a 4-star on each side of the ball to kick off this class. Justin Martin, for people that don't know, 6'4", 210-pound quarterback from Inglewood, California. He is the highest-rated quarterback recruit since Jared Goff. 247 Sports composite rating gives him a 4-star, lists him the 223rd nationally ranked in his class. That's all recruits. And he is in the top 10 of quarterbacks, I believe. Avi watched his tape, and this is what he wrote on it. He says, this appears to be Cal's top recruiting QB target in 2022. He'll definitely get popular through this. So we'll be pitched a recruiting battle. He's easily one of the most athletic prospects I've ever seen at the position. Crazy natural arm strength, throws 40-yard go routes with ease. Awesome scrambler, great improviser out of the pocket. Seems like a primary scheme he runs out of is straight spread with four verts, which kind of like what we want to run. So, yeah, it's quite impressive. If you go to the Right for California page, you can see the write-up done by Owen Kaminsky, and it's a good one with some good video footage too. So, he's good, man. He's, like, actually really, really good. He's like his, if you look at his offer list, it's like Oregon, SC, LA, Arizona State, Oregon State, Michigan State. Like, he he just exploded onto the scene and is absolutely stunning. So I am excited. What about you?
I mean, this is the perfect time for us. We built off the success of last year's class. Like, every single class has gotten better. And if you're just looking like the early returns of this class, 2022, boy, I'm excited for Cal football in a major way. They're really looking good.
Up and up.
Up and up. I mean, this is an amazing get, especially for, you know, I think on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, not that we haven't. I mean, in some ways, we've almost under-recruited defensively given how good we've been. But for Bill Musgrave, I think this is an important recruit.
It's crazy to think about that this is Bill Musgrave's first quarterback offer and first quarterback commit. Like, yeah. Just think about that. Like, that one at bat, one home run. Like, that's what it is right now with Bill Musgrave. People are like, oh yeah, we brought in Kai. Well, Kai was offered by the previous class and he went after him to bring him in as that quarterback for that class. For Justin Martin, it was, this is my guy from the tape I've watched. I am offering you. And then a few weeks later, he commits. Like, he doesn't need to go for any secondary or tertiary options. It was just my first guy. And the crazy part is Andy, you have better Cal history than I do, because mine only goes back to, like, you know, the mid 2000s. But if Justin Martin stays the course and signs and is on campus next summer or January or whenever he decides to come in, this might be the first time in forever that Cal has two African-American quarterbacks on their roster. The last time we even had one was Zach Maynard. Mm-hmm. Before that, I think it was Reggie.
Yep.
But in between then and now, I don't remember any year where we had more than one. This is not silence for dead silence. Andy's like thinking through his head right now.
No, yeah, I'm trying to rattle my brain. I mean, there'll be fans, I think, that will have better knowledge of, like, the 90s and 80s.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think from
in recent history.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, unfortunately, I was so young with, like, Kyle Bowler and all that. Like, I really didn't know who the backups were. But I think in the Rodgers era, I'm thinking, you know, your backup, right, Reggie Robertson. Was there anybody else on? I can't think of anyone. And then, yeah, we had Zach Maynard.
Because those years I remember clearly, and we didn't have one, right? It was like, it was Bridgeford with Bo Sweeney, with Manchin. Like, yeah. Those were the backup guys. Like, they weren't, we didn't have an African-American quarterback on the roster. Which, this is, it's.
Were DeMod and, oh God, this is going to show how bad my memory is. Was DeMod on the roster when we still had, oh my gosh, I can't remember his name. He plays baseball now.
Oh, geez.
Turnover machine from South Carolina.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Number five. Brandon McIlwain.
Yeah. Were Monster and McIlwain on the roster at the same time?
They weren't. McIlwain had already decided to leave by the time Monster came on the campus.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really interesting data point from a standpoint of it's very surprising, especially in the last 20 years it's surprising over any period of time. But as you've seen this kind of explosion of, like, diversity, specifically a quarterback and the way that the game is played. And it's not this, like, traditional back drop back passer anymore. It's like a more athletic position. And it's just sort of wild to me that that might be the case. And our one dual threat quarterback ended up being kind of like a really conservative. I'm not going to say anything more.
Very conservative
guy who ended up playing safety. We just haven't gone that dual threat route. You and I were clamming. I mean, and it's also a myth that if you're African-American that you have to be dual threat. Like, that's not the case. But
mm-hmm. No, he's rated actually as a pro-style quarterback.
Yeah.
He's eighth on 247, and composite, he ranks somewhere around 11.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's just a – it's a kind of a – it's an interesting reflection of Cal. And, yeah, I mean, as far as Justin Martin goes, I couldn't be more excited for this. I think he's going to be a tremendous player for Cal. It's a huge, huge recruit. I think Avi's spot on. Like, we'll have to fight to keep him. I think of what happened, you know, not a couple years ago, but with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah,
like that's like who I would be a little bit worried about is if, you know, ASU kind of came calling again and
yeah.
Our lunch.
On the flip side, Jaden didn't commit until like the very end, whereas Justin's
I know locked in.
So
yeah,
I think if you sell him on the idea of we want you to be the guy that goes out and recruits guys into the class for us, right? Him on the offensive side, Williams on the defensive side. I think if you give him that like responsibility, I think he's more likely to stick. Cause he'll have more attachment to that, to the school now. You know, he's like already part of the team and trying to grow out the team versus he's just a face until he gets on the campus. Hopefully. But yeah, this is a big one. This was a very, very big one. So we'll see where the recruiting class goes from here for 2022. But solid start. Solid, solid start in two key positions for the Cal defense and the Cal offense. All right. The next bit of news, which is the one that we have to talk about, it's like the big, big overarching one that we want to talk about today, is Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott, under mutual agreement with the board of the directors or the conference directors, will be leaving his post a year early. He will be leaving the job as Pac-12 commissioner on June, I think the final day of June, at the end of the month. So he's gone, Andy. He will no longer be here.
Thank goodness. Yo, that was crazy. Because that happened on that happened on Inauguration Day.
Right.
And that was just the craziest of crazy. Larry Scott. I mean, he's still on till June, which was still a disappointment.
It's kind of a lame duck thing. But I would think that he's just there till June, just so if they hire someone in between that time, there could be just an easy handoff of like, these are the duties, you know, here's the contacts. Like, you don't like fire him abruptly and like do all that. So
yeah.
I'm all right with it. But anyways, he will remain in the role until June 30th, 2021.
As we think of Larry Scott, you know, he came into the Pac-12 with quite a bit of hype,
mm-hmm.
and was, or sorry, not the, the Pac-10 at the time,
mm-hmm.
and then created the Pac-12, which the addition of Utah and
Colorado
have been great. Mm-hmm. So that was a good move, but then also was looking at the Pac-16 with Texas and some other Big 12.
It was like Texas, Texas Tech, like what other schools? Oklahoma.
Yeah,
it was like a crazy, crazy.
That would have been money. Should have ambitious. Done that.
Very ambitious.
Super ambitious. Seemed like it was going to happen. Didn't happen, and then it was just downhill from there. Just like all that potential, I don't know what happened. It's like you had that long-term vision and then it was like, oh, we're gonna do this Pac-12 network. I mean, whatever, a commissioner bungling the network can happen. I mean, you know, that could easily happen. It's just sort of like one of those things, and it's college network, but it's kind of everything else for me. It's just like we had the worst officiating in college football, and then he came out and was like, our officials are great. It's like,
Do you even watch your own product? You know, maybe not. And then the call down in the USC game. I mean, what the hell is that? Like, he sure should have lost his job for that. So I think he's been the luckiest man in America for quite a while. And not in our mind, but in many ways.
What, he ends up, he could say his reputation is down the drain, but who cares when he earned over $40 million during his time as Pac-12 commissioner?
You're good. You're good. You can do this. You could go on a podcast. Call it the Larry Scott Podcast.
I could, yeah, you could forego your public image if in return you got $40 million.
The Larry Scott Podcast, presented by Blue Wire Hustle. Larry's stories from the Pac-12. Larry. Yes, Larry? Like, it's Larry to himself, by the way.
It's one man playing four roles.
Hey, Larry. Yeah, Larry. Go ahead, Larry. All right. So why did you decide?
let me read you a little bit from what Avi wrote for the site when Scott left. So Scott started off the Pac-12 with seems to be good signs of things to come when he expanded with Utah and Colorado, as you thought. He followed that up with the creation of the Pac-12 Network, the first major independent college conference network that was supposed to set up the conference for the 21st century. But reality soon hit hard. A failed bid at a Pac-16 in hopes of landing Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and a Texas Tech fell apart. And then the Pac-12 Network could not land a deal with DirecTV, the nation's largest sports TV carrier, greatly reducing the ability for conference to monetize the network and make national players, while the SEC and Big Ten Network thrived on CBS and ESPN, respectively. The original 12-year TV deal that seemed like a boom at the time soon became a trap as sports TV rights became the major profit center mid-decade, leading to the SEC, Big 12, ACC, and Big 10 all doubling or tripling their revenue margins beyond the current Pac-12 deal. The Pac-12 network soon became rumored in stories of deals to try and make money in lieu of sagging advertisement rights, all while housing its media headquarters in one of the most expensive markets on the planet in downtown San Francisco, which, by the way, he moved the headquarters from Walnut Creek, which should have been actually manageable rent and so on, to literally downtown San Francisco on 3rd Street, like literally FIDI.
Like, they don't like the commute.
You know where he lived though, right?
No.
He lived out in the East Bay. He lived like in like Moraga Concord, you know, Lafayette area.
He's more crazy than we thought.
So that's actually, you made your commute worse.
A 10-minute commute. Oh, so silly. I mean,
you know, the crazier part is he had a $1.9 million loan from the Pac-12 to purchase his house. He didn't pay a single ounce of it and then is now paying back the full thing as he's leaving.
I don't
understand either.
There must be something that we're missing. Like, there's no way that, I mean, he's given us zero confidence that we should have any faith, but is it possible to be that incompetent? Like, that seems bonkers to me. It's just as crazy as the Vander Kane stuff with the Sharks. Like, dude has three $10 million homes on a $30 million contract.
Like, yep. And he's bankrupt.
What is going on there? But as far as, like, Lair goes, I don't know. It's so weird to me. But what does he do next?
What does he do next? I could care less. What do we do next as a conference? That's where I'm interested.
All right. Who do you like?
Well, what was it? Was it Bruce Feldman who put out that list of potentials?
Yeah.
And I believe the one that I liked was Greg Byrne, who is the current Alabama AD, and he spent time in the Pac-12 too, working for Arizona. So, yeah, that would be my pick. I think it makes sense. He's dealt with the high level of, you know, Power Five football, like, is respected due to his, you know, position currently as the Alabama AD, and has worked in the Pac-12, so he knows all about that too. And so I think he could probably do a lot more. I don't think this is one where you take a chance at like another finance guy or someone who works in, you know, in that department of sports. I think you definitely have to run with someone who is a lot more sports savvy and then just lean on people in your finance department to figure out the right deals and negotiations and stuff like that. But like the trajectory and the big picture and the roadmap and figuring out where you want to try and go and getting new ideas to do so, I think you need to bring in a guy who's more in tune with the sport. Excuse me, the sports side of things.
Yeah. Crazy.
Do you have a pick?
Educated, former head of the Women's Tennis Association.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, everyone loves Greg. Everybody. So I think from SC fans, Oregon fans, Cal fans, they all love Greg. So I think that Greg Byrne would be my choice. But, you know, I think he's the popular choice right now. I don't really know. You know, is it Jim Delaney? Is that the name of the big, you know, the old Big Ten commissioner?
Yeah.
So I saw him talk. He was pretty interesting because like he had a nice blend of kind of like forward-thinking views and then not so much. I think what I've always been disappointed with is with the fact that commissioners are so unwilling to see what the truth will be for these players, which is that they need to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what I would ask for is just someone that, you know, has more of an innovative mindset to that. And I do agree that, you know, I do agree that it probably has to be someone that understands the sports side a little bit. But the big thing for this person will inevitably be what type of television deals do they think about? And I think that's where the innovation comes in. I know people have been joking around being like, Cal Sports on Peacock or Disney Plus, but it's not that inconceivable to think that sports may move to this this format that we're seeing a lot of our programming go to. And I think you need to be smart about that. Like, would it be smart for Cal to sign a long-term deal to have every single, or the, sorry, not Cal, the Pac-12 sign a long-term deal with Hulu and have every single game be on Hulu? I like that type of thinking because I'd way rather that than, I mean, you know, Fox Sports, I think, would be nice too. They're not going to go anywhere. But the way that television is being consumed now and the way that media is being consumed is entirely different than the environment in which Larry Scott first started. I mean, even you mentioning DirecTV, which, no, you know, which is now AT&T, and all of their programming has been ripped off. So it's like even that model is now outdated as we look at that. So I think we need someone that can think through the technical complications while so like innovative, but having more familiarity with what actual sports and athletic programs will need. So it can't really be that outsider, but I don't want to bring in somebody that's like fully administration background.
Yeah. You know, I'd be super down for it to be on Peacock, man. Like if we get that deal with like NBC, you know, and like, you know, Pac-12 games, you know how like Notre Dame is on NBC.
Yeah.
Like just that with Pac-12, like there's a highlight Pac-12 game on NBC every Saturday night or in the afternoon. And then like the rest of the games are all on Peacock. Like, cause you know, NBC just announced that NBC Sports Network, like their cable channel network will be shutting down at the end of the year. Right. So you're no longer going to be able to see, you know, the Wednesday hockey games, like the Wednesday night hockey games or the Notre Dame games or like any of the racing stuff that you see on NBC, like it's not going to be on cable anymore. It's either going to be on the NBC, like over the air, or they're pushing everything over to Peacock. So that's like the new trend. And I already have a Peacock subscription because I have to watch all my Premier League games with Manchester United, who, by the way, is number one in the league right now, but that's besides the point. Like, I already have that signed up. Like, that'd be great if, you know, that could double up to watch all these other Pac-12 games.
So, how's the audience been on the Manchester United games? So, you're saying everyone that watches Man U football is...
In America, in the U.S., if you want to watch these games, you have to have a Peacock subscription.
Wow.
Or yes, unless the game is actually on NBC, like I said, If it's not on TV, you have to watch it on Peacock. That's the only way you can watch it.
Yeah, this is so interesting. Because, like, would NBC then broadcast it? Like, let's say you had Cal Stanford. Does NBC then broadcast that on their actual network? That, like, the one thing I think about is exposure, too. And then you're like, all right. Because what happens, what is, it's like these things are, like, totally, in some ways, very different. Because you have a Disney Plus or a Peacock, which is trying to get you to move there because of content.
Right.
And then Me and You is a good example, but they're such a big name. Then I'm like, who are the people that are going to sign on to watch Cal versus Oregon State?
Right.
It's like going to be me and you and like only like the real fans. And I wonder if we lose that casual fan audience.
And so that's the decision you have to make as the commissioner, right? Like, let's say, for you, Andy, let's say NBC comes to you and Netflix comes to you. Netflix offers you less money, right? But you know their user base. You know how large that user base is.
Yeah, everybody has Netflix.
Yeah. But then let's say Disney or Peacock comes to you and it's like, we'll put your game on like Hulu or you know, ESPN Plus or like Disney Plus or Peacock. But they offer you more money. But you know their user base is definitely lacking compared to like Netflix, right? Which one would you take? Do you take the exposure and less money, or do you take the more money and less exposure?
None of them. Negotiate with Disney, get the rights to be played, have Pac-12 games played on ABC and ESPN.
That's not going to happen.
On Disney Plus. Boom, baby. Andy for commissioner 2024. Let's go. Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You have to be thinking that way. You have to get somebody that can think beyond just the next 3 years. You got to be thinking about the next 10 years, how things are being consumed, the shift to mobile, the shift to, selective programming. It's not what I'm trying to say, but you have to have someone that's thinking that. Otherwise, you're just going to be, you're just going to be behind. But I don't know. It's really I don't think it's an easy job.
It's not.
It doesn't seem like Larry Scott was a dumb person, but I think
to be fair, looking back at it on hindsight, I think he delayed the inevitable. I think it was like, he was like, oh, you know, we're going to keep working on it with DirecTV. And he at some point should have just buckled and just been like, we'll just take whatever you want to give us and just gotten it on the network first. Just do a short deal, right? Just do like a 5-year deal of it just being on DirecTV, and we'll reconsider, when we get to that point. And you bank and you bet, you double down on your own product, right? That's what he should have done. And then, renegotiated. But he held out for this arbitrary number of, dollars, and it never came to fruition. He talks about them being like here in, Silicon Valley and like the tech, the tech like industry of the world. Like, how cool would it have been, and how much for your brand it would have been awesome if you had launched with YouTube TV, you had gotten a deal done with YouTube and like been the first college sports network to launch with a streaming service like that. The news would have done its marketing itself.
Yeah.
Right. And it's right here. It's literally down the freeway. And you didn't like do any of it, right? Like, the only place you can get like Pac-12 network right now is like, was it like Fubo TV and like Sling TV and a couple others. But it's like, it's not a meaningful user base.
Do you have an idea of what the rent was?
No.
In San Francisco? Do you want to guess?
Per month? You will
never guess it.
Per month.
Per year. We can do per month. Yeah, we can do per month if you want.
No, per year? Per year.
You'll never guess.
I am going to say they rented out the entire floor. I'm going to overestimate and say it's like somewhere in like the...
You can do per month.
No, I've already calculated by year in my head. somewhere between like 25, 30 mil a year.
What? No, that's 30 million a year.
They had like 3 floors of that building.
Still 30
and studios.
Year. What? All right.
I don't know what commercial real estate like is rent wise in San Francisco. Like, well, I know what like housing is.
To spare our viewers that conversation.
Yeah.
$7 million per year. $583,000 a month.
That yeah, I was thinking like a mil a year, but
insane. That is insane.
That's ridiculous.
That's insanity. My goodness. How many employees did they have?
Not a lot.
Have employees?
No, well, they furloughed most of them.
Holy Toledo.
That tells you how much I know about commercial real estate.
Yeah, there's a lot of good quotes in this. Some candidates to come up. Bernard Muir of Stanford, Ray Anderson, Arizona State.
I don't know if you want to get that Stanford AD who had to legitimately cut sports from their program to make the money work. So I don't know if that's a good starting point where you have to cut stuff.
Mike Oresco, Condoleezza Rice.
Oh, God.
The last one would be Jamie Zazinovich, who's the Pac-12 deputy AD. I don't think they're going to do that.
No, they're not going to hire enough
to pull from the same regime.
I'm good. I'm good with them going outside the conference, please.
Yeah, for sure. Go to the SEC.
Yeah, go to the SEC. Even the ACC, I wouldn't mind at all either. Like just go with someone that you know knows the sports side and their conference has done well across the board and then has, you know, experience dealing with the NCAA and bigger powers at hand.
Yeah. I don't really want ACC because I think that I'd probably rather Big Ten or SEC.
Fine by me. Just not in-house, please. Just not. Just don't promote from in-house. That's all I ask.
Not from within.
Nope.
Well, peace out, Larry.
Was it nice knowing you? I'm not sure. But by the way, if you follow us on Twitter and you sent us your dancing emojis or your dancing gifts of when Larry Scott was fired, we appreciate all of them. I personally went in and hit the like button on every single one. I thought they were awesome. They were all such varying emotions. It was lovely to see. Absolutely lovely. Well, I think that's a good enough conversation about Larry Scott. You got anything else to add before we wrap this one up?
That's it. Any questions from the fans?
Not about Larry Scott, just dancing emojis.
All right. Well,
just dancing across the board.
I'm thinking that we need to do some sort of tradition when somebody leaves that we're excited about leaving.
What should we do? I don't know. Something we should say?
Yeah.
Bon voyage.
You tell the whole damn world this is big. Oh no. Yeah. Happy trails, I guess.
Happy trails. That's a good one. Whenever someone leaves, happy trails, buddy. Happy trails. And well, that's it from the Golden Bear Cast. If you're listening to us, you know where to find us. So that wraps that up. You can find us on Twitter at Golden Bear Cast. You can find me on Twitter at Rob11HWNG. You can find Andy at
Andy J Beast Mode.
And you can find all our written stuff at RightForCalifornia.com, where we have a bunch of stuff up right now for men's basketball, football recruiting, coaching hires. And we'll see you on the next pod. Go Bears.
Go Bears.